Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Kaf Dalas B'Tishrei Parashas Bereishis, Tafshinayin Zayin, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 25 October 2016. Webcasting from Judea, origin of the word Jew, ground zero in humanity's war against the Jews. That was the title of the excellent one-volume History of the Holocaust by the late American historian of blessed memory, Lucy Davidovits. Actually, the full title was The War Against the Jews, 1933-1945. But of course, the war against the Jews is far older than that. It's pretty much as old as Abraham. And as there can be no notion of good without a matching notion of evil, that was the bipolar lesson taught Adam and Eve. So there can be no Jews without anti-Jews, like the astrophysicist's notion of matter and antimatter. The apple that Adam and Eve ate grew on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the first download, so to speak, into human minds. And so the war against the Jews is part of the Jewish condition, with the false messiah of secular Zionism propelled by the delusion that they could put an end to anti-Semitism. By the way, notice the lie in writing the word anti-Semitism with a hyphen, which presupposes that there's such a thing as Semitism, when there is not and never was. It's a pseudo-intellectual term. There is Jewishness, my preferred translation of Yahadus. The word anti-Semitism was a lie the moment it was invented as a substitute for Judenhass, in German, Jew hatred. It was invented after Europe's intellectuals had abandoned Christianity with its deicide charge, but found that they still hated Jews, even after they stopped being believing Christians. Anti-Semitism was a pseudo-academic, pseudo-anthropologic term meant to explain Jew hatred in non-religious terms. But again, the very name reveals the lie. For there was no Semitism to be anti to, there was Judaism to oppose, as the peoples of the world, the Goyim, the nations, have always hated Jews and accused them of evil they do not commit. Maybe this is why they hate us so. This is Shabbos. We will joyously start again reading the five books from the beginning and once again discover the discovery of good and evil, with Hashem wanting his creation to choose good over evil. That concept, more than any other, drove Adolf Hitler crazy, though he was right on target when he said that he hated the Jews because they brought conscience into the world, guilt, when paganism was his religion. He wanted to kill off not only the Jews, but the Christians too, for their worship of gentle Jesus, turn the other cheek Jesus, go passively to one's death Jesus. Jesus rode on a humble donkey with no sword in hand, on top of a raging stallion to chop off heads like Islam's de facto god, Muhammad, not Allah. Well, both religions are offshoots of Jewishness. Both added a man, a human being, to the concept of the one God. What a difference between the two figures, Jesus and Muhammad. So the war against the Jews has been around really from the beginning, though people commonly say 2,000 years of anti-Semitism, meaning the Christian variety, but this misses the truth that even before the rise of Christianity, the Greeks and the Romans had their own strain of Jew hatred, of telling lies about our alleged behavior and beliefs, which is how Jew hatred is commonly expressed. And what's interesting about Jew hatred compared to other national hatreds, for example, the Muslim Pakistanis' hatred for the Hindus and vice versa, is how many Jews themselves crossed the line and joined the Goy anti-Jews in their snarling hatred. I mean, how many Hindus crossed the line and side with the Pakistani Muslims against their own country? This is a very different kettle of fish. Last week we considered the behavior of the Israeli head of B'Tselem, Haggai El-Ad, who basically crossed the line when he stood before the UN Security Council and spoke against the democratically elected government of the State of the Jews, and in this, in effect, he attacked not only this government's policy towards the management and fate of Judea, He was attacking the Israeli electorate in this democracy for continually choosing to have Binyamin Ben-Ben-Sion to be their prime minister, who administers this policy. Haggai Elad, instead of respecting the democratically expressed wishes of the people he was born into, chose to bash Israel with the identical concepts used by today's Goy Jew killers. Last week, coalition chairman M.K. David Bitan raised the idea of legislation allowing for the stripping of citizenship from such traitors. I don't know how far that will go, and I'm not sure I would support it. Here was this Israeli Jew sounding like millions of Gentiles when they talk about Judea and Samaria, all saying more or less the same thing, that the Jews have no right to be here and are criminals for refusing to evacuate what they stole from the ancient Palestinian people. In response to Bitan's trial balloon, B'Tselem struck back in a statement, quote, Palestinians haven't had citizenship or rights for almost 50 years, and now the coalition wants to revoke the citizenship of those who speak out against this reality. These threats will not deter B'Tselem and the hundreds of thousands of Israelis who oppose the occupation, close quote. Now, this is interesting. There's a clue here into the mind of anti-Jews like him. He complains about the occupation when there is no occupation, legally speaking. So he's imagining something that does not exist. But beyond this, he says, B'Tselem and others protest this reality when his perception of reality is seriously corrupt. He complains that what he calls the Palestinians, whom descendants of the prophet, the kings of Jordan, for two decades called Jordanians, they did not have citizenship for 50 years, he complains. And I say, so what? They're not Jews. They've never been citizens, and even before 1967, they chronically murdered Jews here all the time in the days of the Fedayeen. And in fact, in the 1930s, even before the state was declared, they murdered Jews. People like Haggai Elad seem to have no knowledge, dare we say, no collective memory of the history here before 1967. He finds something terribly wrong in the fact that the Arabs in Judea do not have citizenship. Of course they don't have citizenship. They hate us. The purpose of Zionism was to create a state for the Jewish people. It was not to create a multi-culti mix of peoples. These are not Jews, and truth be told, they have no need whatsoever for a state because they have 21 of them. They're Arabs. The reality perceived by anti-Jews like Haggai Elad is no different from that in the minds of millions of Goy anti-Jews. The Jews are evildoers, and the phantom Palestinians are their victims. In truth, the opposite is the truth. The 1950s and 60s, this was the narrative worldwide. In the Arab-Israeli conflict, as was called, that was about the Goliath of Araby versus Little David. With the first intifada, though, anti-Jews in the mainstream media began calling Israel Goliath, and the newfound Palestinians, their little David victims. The first intifada that erupted in December 1987 led to news footage of Jews in full battle dress, armed, helmeted, being attacked by boys with stones. The Jews were now the oppressors, and the newfound Palestinians their victims. And this is how anti-Jews today perceive the relationship, how Haggai Elad does. His recent photos of him, show a self-satisfied young man, likely enamored of his own image as a hero who chooses to stand against the corrupt majority. His arrogance and haughtiness is so characteristic of the left. Every time I saw the late Shulamit Aloni pontificate, almost Oz does this too, one senses their disdain for the masses. Perched atop their Gentile Mount Olympus of morality, in sync with anti-Jew goyim, they sneer down at the masses here who remain attached to their Jewish identity, which is inescapably a religious identity, and that's what really bugs them. Which brings us back to Jew hatred and anti-Semitism as hatred of Jewishness, which is rooted in knowledge of the existence of God and his preference for good over evil.
יום פנה כצל תומר, יקרא לכם עליי גומר, אמר שומר אתה בוקר וגם
Yeah, the war against the Jews is inseparable from Jewish life, and how wrong-headed the Zionist leftists who led the state into existence were wrong about their understanding of anti-Semitism. For them, the enterprise was very much belief in being able to transform the Jews into normal human beings in the eyes of others, who would then stop murdering us all the time. And in this framework and context, we observe the still in the news, UNESCO decision, which is supposed to be voted on again tomorrow, this time in its World Heritage Committee, Notice how the proceedings allow for UNESCO to prolong the operation, even drag out this process. That keeps the story in the news for days. Different votes on the same thing, declaring the unimportance to Jews of the Temple Mount. In response to this behavior, inside UNESCO, which is in a class with Holocaust denial, Prime Minister Netanyahu last Wednesday said the government will help fund the archaeological recovery project run by Elad, not to be confused with Chagai Elad, that operates the City of David National Site and, besides that, fosters the return of Jews to living in the area. Elad has been behind the digging in the mounds of dirt removed from the Temple Mount during the reign of Prime Minister Ehud Barak, about which he did nothing. For sure, one factor in the current brouhaha over the Temple Mount was the behavior of the State of Israel under Ehud Barak, when he said and did nothing to stop the massive destruction on the Temple Mount by the Muslims, who ran dump truck loads of dirt off the plateau that surely contain Jewish artifacts millennia old. It was this cowardice, this self-abasement by Israel, that surely contributed to the current lunacy over denying the Jewish connection to the Temple Mount, because the Jews themselves seemed to deny it in those days, and surely, and still do, and surely there's a connection between the socialist kibbutz commune in which Ehud Barak was raised and his do-nothing passivity. In his commune of atheists and mockers of religion, fighting over religious sites was backward and primitive, nothing to fight over. In this way, the UNESCO Mishigas has had the salutary effect of galvanizing many Israelis into peering into the depths of the craziness that is such a part of the world's hatred for us. It has also driven the government to finally participate in trying to salvage the destruction of Jewish artifacts by the Muslims in the days of Prime Minister Barak. It has meant, and continues to mean, pawing through mounds of dirt, looking for scraps of not only our own past, but the presence of others, whose presence here in history cannot be denied. How different we are from these Muslims, these barely literate Arabs. History for them is what they want it to be. For us, it's the record of mankind, created by Hashem, that one must not attempt to wipe out. They even bring murder into the controversy. This afternoon, JPost.com reported that the PA and the Jordanians have warned all 21 members of the World Heritage Committee within UNESCO not to oppose the vote tomorrow, not even to abstain. The title of the resolution to be voted on contains the term Haram Sharif, that's the name of this mount. After the last round, Italy, Mexico, and Brazil had some second thoughts, and they asked that country names and their votes not be recorded, but be buried under the vague term sometimes used called a consensus vote. And the Arab Muslims did not like that, and they threatened unspecified consequences, which of course could mean terror attacks. My book records how Hafez al-Assad used Abu Nidal to go around murdering Jordanian ambassadors as a way of attacking King Hussein for his less than completely hostile relationship to Israel. In Israel, even the otherwise seemingly rational Arab MK and provocateur Ahmed Tibi last Thursday said, yes, there was no temple. Is this not really a war against the Jews? When the existence of the temples is denied like this, it's a stab into the heart of the Jewish people that exists as a people unique for its religion as the essential component of its national identity. And as we saw in the case of Chagai Elad, renegade Jews like him are forever attacking this people too. Today's news carried the announcement that the national theater in Israel called Habima, which means the stage, will perform in Kiryat Arba, when it never has before. And of course, the story included protests by the enlightened who are at war with Jewishness. Like Chagai Elad, they are at war with Jewishness and its essential building block, the promise to Abraham of this land as a home for this people. This promise is in the first communication between the creator of the universe and Avraham, and then it gets repeated in the five books, by my count, 180 times. Kiryat Arba was the original name of Hebron, which is next to it these days, where Avraham is interred with his wife Sarah, and his son Isaac, and their daughter-in-law, his wife Rebecca, and their grandson Jacob Israel, and his wife Leah. In my book, I unearthed material showing how even the gods of the Israeli left in 1967, such as Moshe Dayan and Yigal Alon, foresaw keeping Hebron. Dayan was a fanatical atheist, but because of that, perhaps, he became a fanatical amateur archaeologist. He dug for Jewish roots and artifacts, since he could not accept on faith his right to this land. Yigal Alon, no less, could not imagine after 1967 returning Hebron to the Arabs, the cave of the Machpelah, the family plot of the Jewish people. His Alon plan called for annexing a substantial portion of Judea and Samaria and letting the Arabs in the unannexed areas govern themselves. Although we are smeared as colonialists and imperialists, we had no desire to exploit the natives and rob them of the natural resources of their country, because there are no natural resources. And the locals were too backward to be of much use in a modern economy. So today's Israeli leftists, a half a century later, no longer possess whatever Jewish identity Dayan and Alon had. This, by the way, was, I believe, also a major propellant within the Oslo abomination. Rabin and Peres, a different generation, and Belin even another generation, were hungry to part with Judea and Samaria precisely because of its religious significance. Holding on to it was too Jewish.
אל תעזבני, אל תעזבני. אם אלפי תהילתך, אמא לפי תהילתך, אמא לפי תהילתך, כל היום תפארתך. תהילתך, תשליחני לזקנה ככלות כוחי אל תעזבני ככלות כוחי אל תעזבני ככלות כוחי אל תעזבני ככלות כוחי אל תעזבני
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Speaking this webcast of the war against the Jews and highlighting the role anti-Jew Jews play in it, J-Post last night reported on a letter sent to Education Minister Naftali Bennett last week calling on him to investigate the Minerva Center, a program run by Hebrew University, that awards academic credit to volunteers who work as interns in several different anti-Israel NGOs, starting with the B'Tselem and Gisha, that's the Legal Center for Freedom of Movement, and Hamokade, which means the focus. They call themselves the Center for the Defense of the Individual. And then there's the Public Committee Against Torture in Israel, all of them the beneficiaries of foreign governments and the New Israel Fund. The anti-Jew Jews in the States in particular. Among the signatories on the letter was Rina Ariel, mother of Halel Yafa, age 13, stabbed to death in her bed by a wild ass of a homicidal, suicidal Muslim madman. Also signing were other parents and relatives, spouses of other Jews murdered by these Arab savages. Wisely, the letter stated that these so-called human rights organizations the letter said what yours truly has said for a long time, these NGOs pay zero attention to the human rights of Jews, brutalized by Arabs, which exposes them as fraudulent organizations. They're not human rights organizations. Hebrew University defended itself in a statement saying the Minerva Center that administers these internships is, quote, an academic, non-political body that enjoys an international reputation which operates within the framework of the Hebrew University and encourages teaching and research in the field of human rights, close quote. This is revolting. First of all, by preening that the operation enjoys an international reputation, I say, please. The world's most famous international organization is the United Nations, which is infested with Jew hatred. It is obsessed with Israel bashing. These Hebrew University academics sound like a bunch of provincials impressed by the international community and its views, which of course is always superior to national views, the views of the Jewish nation. The international community knows better than the Jewish nation. For leftists like these, nationalism is indistinguishable from chauvinism and racist hatred of the other versus themselves, these cosmopolitan internationalists who have transcended the narrow-mindedness of patriotism and greater concern for one's own people over that of an alien nation, which in classical Hebrew means concern for a goy. Thus, the war against the Jews is waged not only violently via rockets out of Gaza and ambush attacks by Arab assassins with knives and axes and guns, but by Jews, too, who are hostile to the very existence of a Jewish community, anchored in religious belief. The protest against Habima Theater performing in Kiryat Alba is a case in point. More than acting out their alleged concern for the oppressed and persecuted so-called Palestinians living in Judea and Samaria, what motivates them is their hostility to the religion of their religious Jewish brothers and sisters, who justify their presence in Judea and Samaria with religion, what they believe is the opiate of the masses.
חסדך
Okay, that's it for this first night after the holidays, and I hope you all had a good time. And we'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.